Matter. I'm going to have fun tonight. Sunday I got up, the Lord had given me an unction, and the pastor was preaching on unction. I didn't quite call it that, but it's amazing.
Amen.
And you know, for y'all, y'all need to, he's been prophesying to me for a long time, good and bad. All good. It's just sometimes he just had to say some things to me that helped me. Right, brother? Everybody say, that's all good.
All good.
Oh, you're going to have to help me tonight. I'm excited. I am plumb fired up. I am excited. You know, and the thing about it was, this is not a deep message tonight. It really isn't. It's easy. Everybody say easy.
Easy.
I hope I bring it forth in a way that it's easy for your heart, but I'm going to say some things tonight. I'm going to kind of tee off on what was said Sunday, brother, about when I said the Lord waiting and the things that you said. And the one thing that I've learned in this church, that we say the same things.
Amen.
We agree with God.
Yep.
We listen to the pastor's direction and we follow that direction. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
So we're going to have fun tonight. If it gets a little tight, just say it's all right that it gets tight, because Jerry's tight right and out of sight. You can say it all at one time. But we're going to have fun. In 1 John chapter 5, we're going to start talking about how religion has trained us to behave differently. You remember me talking about in the shopping center about you being trained, how you're trained by people's looks, how you're trained by stares, and how the wife could give you a dirty look and it would train you. She's training you, teaching you how to behave and stuff like that. We talked about that. Well, this is kind of a little bit of a spinoff on that, that some of us here are still lagging behind. Some of us here are faking it. And if I really knew you, you'd be really known as lagging behind. And then some of us are making it.
Come on.
Some of us are going forward. Those who are going forward, let me just tell you, because I love you, those going forward are not looking back. They love you, and you would not know that. I'm just going to a quick commercial for my pastor, brother. Now I'm being serious. This man, his heart breaks for you people.
Amen.
This is not. I'm not just saying this because he paid me $50 tonight to say it. He really, his heart goes out to you.
Amen.
And when you're not moving forward, it takes some of the shine off his journey.
Yes.
But he loves you.
Amen.
And the sad part about this is we've learned by religion that if we're not making it, we fake it. Mm-hmm. And we fake it until we come under so much pressure and so much pain, the real us comes out. And then everybody knows who you really are.
Yeah. It gets tight.
It gets tight. You get right, and then you get out of sight.
Uh-huh.
It turns into a mess. I've done it. In my spiritual life, I've done things. I've been able to last a long, long time. Then something, a little bird get up under my saddle, and I'll start dwelling on that thing a little bit. I'll get a little rough around the edges. Then I start getting mean and nasty. And then it takes my wife to put me in my place. But if she don't, then I come here and he asks me, what's my problem? Am I crazy? And between the two of them, they somewhat keep me straight. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
But it's all good, y'all, because I'm on a journey.
All good.
You are not going to know me this time next year.
Come on now.
I'm just putting you on notice. Some of y'all are going to be mad. Because I'm going to be grinning. I learned not to be arrogant, because I got arrogant one other time and I bounced off a wall. But there's a struggle going on in the world. And the struggle is between darkness and light. The struggle is between two kingdoms that are completely opposed to one another. The kingdom of evil and the kingdom of light. And what happens to us as believers, we get caught in the middle of the fight. We don't have to. We have rules and we have laws that work. We have a totally different language we can use. But we won't use it. We fail to understand that when we are born again, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light.
Hallelujah.
And when you get in that kingdom, there's a new language.
Yeah.
There's a new way of doing things.
Yeah.
There's a new way of walking.
Yeah.
A new way of talking.
Yeah.
You know, when my wife and I, we went to Argentina right after 9/11. We prayed all the way down there. We had people on the plane that we were concerned about, and that's just us. We got to Argentina. No one spoke English at the airport, so we kept looking for people, and I was getting real good at saying, speak English, and they are, yes, yes, and I finally found one guy. He said, I'll help you. And so he got all of our luggage and was taking us out and showing us where everything to go, and then there's these three guys standing over here with suits on. And these three guys just kept staring at us, and I'm going, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm not in Kansas. They are serious. I can't call the police here. They are the police or somebody. They kept staring and staring and staring. I was trying to get by them without hoping they'd leave me alone. You know how when you won't look, they won't see you. It's not like when you're kids. The biggest one of all the group looked at me and said, so I walked up to him. So I was smiling. Listen, I'd have stole him a car right then because I was scared and I was smiling. How you doing? You know, old Gomer Pyle came out in me. You know, hi y'all. And he's like, just here. He said, what's your business here in Argentina? I said, well, we're on a business trip, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to try to make a little joke. He didn't see my sense of humor. He said, your business? Where are you staying? How long you be here? What company are you with? He's got my passport. And see, he was speaking a totally different language. I didn't know. I just knew I wasn't home. Mm-hmm. And I was totally powerless. So he says, okay, go. And so I'm leaving, and I tip this guy some money for helping us. And he's smiling. He's happy. I'm happy. I'm away from them. They're not happy. They never were happy. I get right at the door. I give him the money. And then all of a sudden I look, and they look at him and go. And they took the money from him. They put us in a taxi. The taxi was probably 4 foot by 4 foot. It was the littlest, smallest taxi I've ever seen in my life. So there was groups of us in there, and so it was like a madhouse. These little bitty taxis would pull up, and people would dive in them, and then the taxis would take off. And so they threw Dottie and I in the back seat of this little tiny taxi, and this guy's off to the races. The people with us all day, because all we looked back, and they were laughing, because they saw us looking back, probably two eyeball sets looking at them like, oh, God. The thing pulls off. He's driving 90 to 100 miles an hour in and out of traffic. Pulls up motorcycles, pulling up on the sidewalks. And I'm going, my Lord. Get to the hotel. The hotel guy, they check us in. He says, are you Americans? And I said, yes. He said, when you go on the street, do not speak English loudly. And I'm going, okay, 9/11. Everything's happening. They began to tell us what to do and what not to do. I was not in Kansas. I really wasn't. I wasn't home. And I had to learn to adapt to what they were doing in their country because they could care less about who I was or where I was from. And we were there 2 weeks, I guess, and we began to get into the flow of a new language and a new way of doing things and the mannerisms and culture. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. It's a different way of talking, a different way of walking, a different way of thinking. It's totally different. But some of us are still in the USA trying to live in Argentina. We're still not listening to the languages, and it's frustrating to teach and speak and hear the preacher preach and his heart out, and people are still behind. So we're going to look at some of the things that we need to do tonight in that. But our goal here is for nobody left behind.
That's right.
That's the heart of this church, is no one left behind.
Amen.
And so tonight, if you would listen to me, we're going to talk about five things. If you will just do these five things, you will have success. You will be blessed and you will be prosperous. But if you are the same way this time next year and still struggling, and you've been struggling for a long time, that's going to tell all of us after tonight that you're just not doing these things. Because the pastor said to me the other day, these are laws. These are principles, which mean they work.
That's right.
So if it's not working, guess what? You're not doing it. So you can get all mad. You can get all wrinkled up, lips rolled out like I do from time to time. But all it does is point back to you. That's all it does. Now, let me just do a quick thing here. I've come here with the wrong attitude at times. Went in the pastor's office, and he had to tell me what I just said. So tonight I'm reminding you as a brother, you're not my sheep. You're Jesus' sheep. This is your pastor. But I'm going to talk to you as a brother. Because if you'll just do five things, your life will change. First John chapter 5, it says, for whatever, or that could mean whoever. Whoever is born of God. How many of y'all are born of God? Then you qualify for the rest of this sentence. Overcomes the world. If you are born of God, you have overcome. That word overcome means to prevail and conquer the world. And it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. It didn't say you're whining. It didn't say our crying. It didn't say loving our way through it, showing kindness. But it says this, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes, in other words, is victorious over his foes of the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Father, we just ask that your blessings be upon us tonight, that we would hear your word in a way, Father, that would be revelatory, that you would speak rhema words to our hearts tonight, Father, that we would have lights turn on in our hearts and our minds, that we things that we've never seen before would come clear, that we would understand your way differently tonight, Father, understand you differently, understand your word differently, and that we would begin to get into the flow, into the sound, into what God is doing in this place. And we ask you, Father, for mercy and grace in these things. And we bless you in it, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Now, the sentence I just read talked a lot about conquering. It talked about overcoming. It talked about victory. Now, all of these things are battle terms. It tells us, therefore, that there are going to be battles in this life. It talks about who our enemies are. It talks about Satan as our enemy, and it talks about the system of this world as our enemy.
Yeah.
So we know that we're going to, from this two little verses, that we're going to have battles and we're going to have enemies. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now amen means that's true. And your agreement with that's going to happen. So if we agreement that that's going to happen when we say amen, then we also have to say amen to the rest of this. The world system, therefore, is trying to conquer us. Now, so if there's a battle, and there's a battle between darkness and light, the world system and the kingdom of God, so if we have to talk battle language, it stands to reason to understand that we are going to have to fight. Something's going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whether we see it or not, something is going on. And what's going on is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world is trying to mold and shape you.
Yeah.
You see, people don't understand, but Satan realizes we are dust, made of the dirt, that we're clay. He understands that. So he sets off, I believe, from a small child to mold you, to change you into his image, to mold you and change you into his way. He sends things to happen to you. He sends people to hurt you. He sends influences and things to mold you and to shape your thinking and your expectations. He desires to destroy you. And he begins to mold you from a very, very young age. That's why so many of us, we can sit around and talk about how some of us didn't have moms and dads to teach us these things. Some of us had moms and dads, but they might as well have been gone because they didn't tell us anything. Some of us, if you had, were fortunate to have parents that taught us about God. But those of us that didn't have those influences, we were just at the mercy of the devil and the mercy of this system. Yeah. And that system has no mercy on you. That system has no compassion on you. That system has no favor for you. It has no love for you. It has no desire for your good. It has no desire for your children to have good. It has absolutely nothing but a desire to destroy you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And then the Bible talks about to utterly destroy you. That's why it's so important that the decisions we make now, that we understand they need to be good decisions. Not only because this is a decade of things of setting forth the next 10 years, But if you go back to 2 Samuel, it talked about David. There was a famine in the land for 3 years. And it said for 3 years, then it said year after year. Have you ever had problems where it just seemed like it just went on and on? Well, David was, there was a famine in the land. And then it said after 3 years, it said, then David inquired of the Lord. What was he thinking? After 3 years, he inquired of the Lord. Aren't we guilty of the same thing? We walk through life going through the same garbage, the same problems, the same circumstances, whining and crying. And I've done it. I've done all those things. So I'm a doctor of whinology. I have talked about whining. I have whined. I have cried. I have felt sorry for myself. Ask my wife, bless her heart. I have done it all. You hear what I'm saying? But it didn't stop a thing.
Yeah.
Satan never had mercy on me. He never said, oh, the boy's had enough. Let's back off just a little bit. Set him up. Let him expect good for a couple of days and I'm going to zing him again. No. He had no mercy. He has no mercy. But God has given us the power to subdue and conquer and overcome. Now, what's wrong with this picture? The world system wants to destroy us. It's out to kill us. It's out to utterly destroy us. But God has given us the victory.
Amen.
Yes.
You see, Jesus was the key to our healing, to our success. He was the key to all this stuff. And it doesn't lock the door. But a lot of us don't want to open the door.
Yeah.
And it's only faith that's going to open it.
Yeah, come on now.
It's only faith. So I want us to get a frame of mind. Religion has taught us to be something we're not. Religion has trained us to become something. The world system has trained us to be people that we're not. You know, we just get crazy in our mind the way we think about things. We convince ourselves of all kinds. We just get nutty as a fruitcake about some things. If I said it about me, y'all would all be smiling. Thank you. We all go through these times.
That's right.
So we've got this battle going on, the battle of the kingdom destroying us and the kingdom who's given us the victory. The Bible tells us that our victory is our faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that believing, faith is believing and speaking.
Yes.
But what is this battle of good versus evil? What does this battle look like in real life? What are the things we need to be aware of to move on? What decisions do we need to make to get out of where we are to be better? Because no matter where you are tonight, Jesus desires for you to be better next year. He's not going to let up on you because He loves you. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have rest. So what are the things we need to know? What are there some decisions we need to make tonight to make the next 10 years beautiful, wonderful?
Yeah.
What are some of those decisions we need to make? What does it really look like? The first thing we have to understand is we've got to be aware of the tactics of the kingdom of this world. Everybody say, okay. So you make a decision that I'm going to be attentive to how that system works. I need to know you got to get in the game. You got to understand that game. Now, many of us understand that game from a standpoint of we played it for a long time. But a lot of us have been deceived in the church. So the first thing we need to decide is we decide to be aware of the tactics of this world. And what does that look like? If it's alcohol, somebody could be drinking. And I'm not preaching drinking. This is not my night. But what the world does is it promises you pleasure. It promises you peace. It promises you joy and acceptance through drinking. But what happens is it lures you in to where you might would start off with a couple glasses of wine or a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And the next thing you know, you're drinking more and more and more. Same way with drugs. It promises you relief from certain things. It promises you these things. But its goal is to destroy you and to enslave you. So the world system, be aware that it promises good things. It promises pleasure. It promises joy. It promises all this. But it always has another hand that's going to destroy you. That's the way the world system works. One more, credit cards. I'm just talking. You know, credit cards, they promise you go ahead and enjoy that cruise this year. And you can pay $20 a month for the next 728 months, but you can enjoy that vacation now. It promises pleasure, ease of money, ease of purchase, and then it destroys you. When you can't pay it, they're not your friends anymore, are they? They will drive you nuts. The mortgage companies that I went in debt of, they loved me. They shook my hand, pat me on the back, gave me candy, all kind of stuff, and I signed the papers. But when I I couldn't make the payments, they turned demons loose on me or something in that place. They would call me up every 3 days. Well, I just talked to somebody. Well, I understand, but we're calling you today. Is your situation changed? No. How could it change in 3 days? When are you going to be able to pay? Well, and I'm saying, listen, and then I pull the Christian thing on. I'm doing everything I can. I've always paid my bills. I'm doing everything, and I'm sincere. I'm just pouring out my heart, and this person goes, Well, when can we expect the payment? They could care less.
That's right.
They lured me, and their goal was to destroy me. That was their goal. So we've got to be aware. So the first thing you do is you decide today that you're going to be aware and attentive to how the world works and how Satan works. Okay? Everybody say, all right?
All right.
You see, another picture of how the world works is like, you remember Sunday I said something about somebody squirming worms?
Yeah.
Y'all remember that? You know a squirming worm is only a worm that's being on the hook. If you leave the worm in the dirt, he just moves around and crawls. He just laid back and chilled out. Not a problem. You start to grab him and put him on a hook. He starts all kind of things going on with that. He'll wrap around your finger like a snake, do all kind of things. He fights and he struggles. And you know, if we squirm, that means we're on the hook. We're not in our environment. We're not walking in faith. We're not walking in peace with the Lord. We're squirming. It means we're on a hook. In the same way as that hook and that worm on that hook promises that fish just something feasty. But he just don't know. He's got a hook waiting on him. That's how the world system is. So you have to be aware that the world system will promise one thing, but it delivers another. But its goal is to destroy you. You say, well, how will I know? Because it wants to destroy you. The kingdom of God wants to give you life. It wants to give you abundant life. It wants your whole man to prosper. So it's fairly easy, isn't it? Well, it's not always easy when you're in the middle of this thing and you're struggling with this and you're doing all this and you're the worm on the hook. It's not any fun, is it? Well, then you go to the second decision. Everybody say, I got to decide two things now. This time you decide not to be conformed to the things of this world. Well, listen, I ain't going to be talking about dancing. Y'all just relax. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that what is just good and acceptable and perfect. The word there means, confirmed, means to be stopped being fashioned and molded by this world system. Stop it. Stop it. Somebody look at your neighbor and just say, just stop it. Just stop it. I heard a preacher say, you can't heal stupid. You have to deliver stupid. I still need deliverance from time to time. Amen?
Say that one more time.
No, I'm not. It's on tape. Too much. You see, the devil knows that we're clay and he wants to destroy us. And this is where all the battles really are. You see, it's the world system not only trying to lure you and bait you, but now it's trying to change you and mold you, conform you and fashion you into the world's way of doing things. And as believers, we have to understand that and we have to decide that we're going to see that, but we're going to decide on the way the kingdom of God operates. We're going to decide to do walk by faith, which is believing and speaking, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to believe and speak what God says. When Satan tries to lure you in on something, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So when someone's trying to lure you in with something, the promises of all these different things of pleasure, and we can go into those, we're not. But when you're being lured in, you know that you're a worm, you start squirming, you're a worm on a hook. That's not good. So then you start looking, well, I'm not going to be conformed. What am I thinking? I'm feeling this way. Pastor, we talked about the feeling thing. I feel this, and I feel like I just don't need to be doing that. I don't need to. I feel and I think, and I'm doing all these things. When you just need to stop and say, well, what does God say about this thing? In my life, it's a lot easier for me to pitch a hissy fit, scream and holler, and carry on till I feel better. Then Dottie feels worse, but my truck just goes on. That's how I'm made up. I blow up, dump the load, and I'm gone. I'm just all right. She's wounded and looking at me like, Lord, please let him grow up. But that's being conformed when I do that. When I step off into that area, I'm being conformed. It's habits. It reinforces. And when I do it one time, I do it a second time, it gets stronger and stronger. So we decide not to be conformed by the way the world does things, but we decide to be conformed by what God says. Amen. That's the second thing. Then we get to the third thing. We decide also to always guard our hearts. According to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." The word there, watch, guard, means to protect, to preserve whatever comes into your heart. You are called to be a gatekeeper to your heart. The pastor can't tell you how to think and what you love. He can't go home with you every night, tell you not to do certain things or think certain. He can't do those things. It's not about doing and not doing as much as it is guarding that heart. You see, somebody could just not look at you and talk to you, or something changing. You go, well, things must be changing. Yeah, what's happened to you? He didn't talk to me this week. That's the same thing. You're not listening. You're not guarding your heart. You're letting things in. And whatever's in is going to come where? It's going to come out. So the third thing you do is you decide tonight from here on that you're going to begin to guard your heart. Now remember, these are three things. So when you act, now we understand children are children. We understand babies are babies. But if you've been here for a season of time and you're still going on to these same old things, then we're going to start knowing that you ain't done one, two, and three. Everybody in agreement? And if I start whining and crying, you can say, "Brother Jerry, which one are you not doing? Which three are you not doing? Are you doing any of them?" It's okay. Because if it's true for you, it's true for me, right? Amen. So just remember, it's time for us to have a checkup from the neck up. We need to begin to get serious about this thing because good things are about to happen.
Yes, sir.
Good things are about to happen.
Hallelujah.
You guard your hearts. When it says that it's the springs of life, and this is really one of the things that excited me today. What that means is that's the boundaries of your heart. That means that's the controlling factor in your heart. You see, there's some things you may do, I won't do. Some things I may do and you won't do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
But your boundaries come from your heart. Yep. Now, when we had children, we were fortunate that when we got saved, I didn't know how to raise children. I'm just telling you the truth. It was awful. We were cussing, carrying on, just... We were pagans. We didn't know what to do. But when I got saved, God sent me to a church. They taught me how to be a father and her how to be a mother. They taught us how to raise our children. We were very blessed in that. One of the things they taught us was about boundaries. And they explained it like this. Boundaries are like a fence. As long as your children stay within the boundaries, everything's okay. You only have problems when they go outside the boundaries. And so we would teach our children about the fences. You can't go out. You can't get outside this fence. And we would talk about boundaries. Even though after teaching all these things, how many of you know they went out of the boundaries? It was in their heart to get out of the boundaries. We had a son that's 4 years old, Jonathan. He was a hoot. You could look at him and he'd cry. When the brother and sister got in trouble, he'd cry. If you hugged them, he'd jump in your lap like, "You ain't leaving me out." He just had a tender heart. And one day in the house that we lived in, it was very close to the road. It was like from here to the sound booth back there. From the road. And I watched him. He was standing on the edge of the curb and he knew not to get in that road because it was a quiet road. But when school let out, we lived near a high school. When they let out, the little heathens would come flying down that road. I mean, just, which is another story. But I told him, do not get in that road. And one day I looked out at him. He was standing on the curb. He was looking up at the house. He's looking for daddy and mama. He stuck his foot down the road. Pull his foot back up on the curb and looking for mom and daddy. I sat on him like a buzzard. I was waiting on him. I ambushed him. He did it a second time and a third time. And then finally he put both feet in the road. When he did that, I hit that door. He started crying instantly. Like, oh, the end of the world had come. You see, but he knew his boundaries, but he still stepped outside his boundaries. His heart was in the road. And that's how we do. And you see, I was trying to teach him, and just not too long after that, I was behind the car, the high school car, carload of kids. They were throwing rocks and bottles and mailboxes down the street, and they were probably doing 70 or 80 miles an hour on this Liberty Road, this Liberty Street. And all I could think of was my son's there.
Yeah.
So we top the hill, and we go down the hill, and I look, he's not down. In the spirit of, I almost said Antichrist, I listened, it got on me. I chased those boys about 2 miles down the road, and I pulled them over into my car, private station wagon. I looked like Ward Cleaver behind them. And these guys, these four guys bailed out of that car looking at me like, what's up, old man? Like that. I flew in them. I said, I'm going to tell you, I had an unction on me, brother. And I told them what the law was, and I was the law. And about that time, a second car pulled up behind a carload of boys. They pull up, and this is their brothers. All them, what's going on? One real cocky. You know, when you learn him in the street to go after the biggest and the meanest, and that scares everybody else off. I went right into him, told him what I was going to do to him. I was just so upset that it scared me so bad. You see, that's why my son didn't realize that that was going on. But the father knew that that could happen. His dad knew that that could happen. But his heart was in the road.
Yep. Yeah.
And we have to guard our hearts.
Yeah.
We have to be aware of what we're thinking. We have to be aware of the excuses we're saying, the things, the reasonings, and all the things that we do when we're trying our hearts in the road. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do I have to go? Y'all, we're all grown. Do I have to talk about getting in the road? We all know what that means. We need to guard our hearts. We need not be conformed to the world, understand their systems, understand that we're gatekeepers. The fourth thing that we have to do is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might.
Yeah.
It says this, to be strong means to be not easily affected or upset, maintaining the ability to speak clearly and vigorously. Strong, let me say it again, means to not be easily affected or upset. Maintaining the ability to speak clearly and vigorously. Now, when I pulled those boys over and all, I was outnumbered all that way, I spoke clearly and I spoke vigorously. They had no doubt what my intentions were. They would have whipped me all over the place. But that was just my heart. Someone strong in the Lord's strength, that's how you are. You have a bow, you have an unction that you go forward. You don't lean to the right or to the left. You have this power that's from God. And it says in the strength of His might, it means His ability to accomplish anything. So you're leaning on His strength, not your own. So you decide to be strong in His strength, not your own strength. You decide to trust what He says. The fifth thing we do is you pray without ceasing. This is where we're going to plow just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. It says praying. Now, I've always wanted a simple definition of praying. Praying here just means talking to God in faith. Faith is just, what did I say faith was? Believing and speaking what God says. Prayer is believing and speaking what God says. For the Lord will always stand by His word. He stands ready to accomplish what He says He will do. But when we pray, we develop tendencies and habits to pray our words. When Pastor Penny gets up and prays, I love hearing her pray. I mean, she's flowing with word. It's just word this. And I mean, I may get up and, Lord, bless the three horses of Notre Dame or I'll, something strange. But the word's coming out. When my wife prays, it's the word coming out. It's the word. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people who will pray His word, remind Him of His word. Yeah. Speak, not begging, oh God, You said in Your word, given it shall be given. And Lord, I can't get past the press down, the shaking, I can't even get to that. I can't get past the giving, so I'm just, it just says You'll give. It's praying His word with a confidence of who He is. It's just telling Him His word. It's just speaking to Him about His word. Praying without ceasing. Now listen to this. When it talks, it says with all perseverance and petition, it goes just a little bit further. It means to keep on praying and keep on insisting. Keep asking with persistence. Some of you say, well, I pray sometimes, brother. I do that. I pray this or I pray that. But listen to this a little bit. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy. Be like those who through faith and patience will receive what God has promised. Now, the problem we have is that we become slothful in our prayers. When you start hearing us pray things of just off-the-wall stuff instead of reminding God of His word, we're not being effective, really. Because He hears His word, right? So when we're lazy, what that it means slothful, but it means this. Now listen, you really want to write this down. To be slothful or lazy means to refuse to make the effort. Is that simple enough?
Yes.
You refuse to do what you have to do. And I'm not talking about to get saved. I'm not talking about being sanctified. You refuse to do these five steps. You refuse to do the follow the principles and the laws. You refuse to do what is necessary to allow your breakthrough, to allow your blessings, to allow God to do the things He wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
He wants to do it. His Word says He will do it. And so we would rather sit back and just wait. And I believe that was part of the point from Sunday. It's not just waiting.
Nope.
It's not just sitting and thinking. It's not just crying. It's not just doing these things. You know what that kind of patient is? That's what Brother Kelly was talking about. You're just putting up with it.
Yep.
That's not patience.
No.
Putting up with something you don't like. Putting up with something you don't understand. Putting up with something you wish would just go away. That's not patience. We wouldn't do that with people. My wife would let me get by, but so far. But when I cross a line, how many of y'all know she won't put up with it? She speaks Dottie's word. We should be that way, really. We will do it at home. Y'all looking at me like knots on a log. Y'all act like y'all are innocent. I know better. If I went home with you, I'd hear it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Lazy. And here's the other part. It's impatience. Patience there really means the power of being sound, constant, and refuse to be moved.
Amen.
Now, Scripture says that faith and patience, in Hebrews chapter 6, 12 that I just read, be like those through faith and patience. Faith and patience are two birds of a feather.
Yeah.
They flock together. You'll all find one, you find the other. You find one, you find the other. Let me give an illustration of that. I had a dream one night. And I knew the dream was of God. How many of y'all know that when we have dreams or prophecies, we try to interpret those things immediately and we try to help God out. And then you speculate and you think it says one thing. And so then you stuck on that one thing and it's hard to change because that's one thing's running your life and it's really not what God was saying. You just didn't take the time to ask God and wait on Him to reveal or confirm. But I had a dream one night. In the dream, I was taken to this ranch, this farm. There was these two. It was a pasture full of horses, huge horses, horses I've never seen before. And the horses had small heads, but they were war-type horses, battle-like horses. They were thoroughbreds of some kind, had their manes shaved and their tails cut and stuff. And they were fierce-looking horses. But when I pulled up to where they were, one horse's back legs were not working. And they were spread out, like kind of, I described it like Bambi on ice. They were just spread out. But the horse was under stress. It was struggling. It couldn't get up. You know, that horse was trying to do something it was born to do, and it couldn't. But a second horse came up and stabilized that horse's head and held that horse and helped that horse, comforted that horse until his legs got up under him. And the Lord spoke to me today in this message and said, Jerry, that was faith and patience in your life. You see, there was a time in my life that my patience was taking a hit. My faith had taken a hit. But that was patience. You know, I'm trying to think it might have been movie stars, I don't know, you know, somebody, something. But it was faith and patience. And this is how that works. Stand up a minute, brother, if you don't mind, please. Faith and patience works together. Patience is not just bearing and putting up with something. Remember? But it goes hand in hand. It means not being moved. Stable, sound. So when faith, I'll be faith. You want to be faith?
I don't know.
You be faith. You can get an attitude quick. Get an attitude. Be street attitude.
Okay.
He's faith and I'm patience. Well, I sit over here, I'm watching faith, because we go together everywhere we go. You see one, you see the other. We tight, right, and out of sight, we're together, all right? So faith is walking. You got the little attitude. Walk back and forth, a little attitude. Yeah. Y'all say, I knew he could do it. Could he not do it? That's it. Just keep doing that, brother. Patience sits over here. He's the man. That's what patience. He's the man. Somebody says something to him, I go, come on, baby. You're the man. Do it. Deal with it, bro. Deal with it, Faith. Jump on it, Faith. You got it, Faith. Rooting him on. Rooting him on. But then all of a sudden, he takes the blind shot and he's weak. Slump over. Okay. Pitiful looking. Now, faith is wounded. It's getting weak. Patience is sitting over here going, no. No, 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 no. Come on, brother. No, come on, man. We start walking together. We all right, brother. Jesus is with us. Don't be so hard, bro. Faith. Jesus, the Word of God says, and then all of a sudden the attitude comes back. And patience steps back and says, he's the man. He's the man. He's the man. He's the man. Yeah. Let's give him a hand because he's got it. That's what we're talking about. Five very simple things. Five. Praying at all times. The Bible tells us that God knitted you and he knitted me in our mother's wombs. It tells us in Scripture that he had a plan for us. He said that plan was for you to succeed and for me to succeed. To be blessed, to prosper in all that we did. So if he knitted me, he had a plan for me. Don't it make sense that he prepared me? Doesn't that make sense to you? You know, but we get in a mess because we start going to the world's way. We start trying to do it their way. We start toiling and sweating. Start perspiring, manipulating. Try to get in with a pastor. Just sit beside him. I'm going to get with him because he got connections. If it goes good for him, it flow on me. Then you start saying things to him just to get your way, trying to lie and cheat your way, talking about how good. Then you see Jeff, and you say, oh yeah, Jeff, and you say, hug on him, and you come over here and hug on somebody else. You may leave everybody else alone. You're trying to work that thing. That's not what that's talking about.
That's right.
We're talking about faith, which is believing and speaking what God says. And so you get back to the point, you come back, we've got to come back to what we know. Not go back, but we've come back. There's a difference between the two.
Yes.
We've got to remember that we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in each and every one. If you're born again, God's Spirit is in you. Why are we so weak? Why are we so pitiful when the God who created the universe, the God who could speak everything into being, His Spirit dwells in us? Why are we shy? Why are we pitiful? Why are we laid back? Why are we worried about what everybody's thinking? Why do we want to be molded like the world? Why do we want to follow the politics of the world? Why do we want to do that when we got the Spirit of the living God, the Holy One that the pastor kept talking about, in us, in you, willing to carry out the will. He's wanting to help you, to bless you. But like David, we wait for year after year after year to inquire of him.
Come on.
It's there. It's not long distance call.
No.
Why do we do that? We have to remind ourselves. And be reminded that it's the God kind of faith that we're talking about that moves mountains.
Right.
It is the God kind of faith that gives you the ability to conquer. It is Him in you that does that. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes. You got the video about ready, bro? God overcomes, prevails, and conquers the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Remember, it's the squirming worm that's on the hook. If you're squirming, you're probably somewhere doing something or thinking something where you really shouldn't be doing and thinking.
Amen.
You need to understand that the world desires to train you in the ways of this world to destroy you.
That's right.
But you've been translated into a higher kingdom with a higher way. And we've got to walk and talk like we're in that kingdom. You're living in it. You've been translated in it. So it's time to walk like it and talk like it. And understand that if it's a law, it will work for you. It'll work for the pastor. It'll work for me. It'll work for all of us. But you know, we can say that until we're blue in the face. There's still some that have their mind made up that they're going to do it their way. And you have been molded into the system of this world if that's what you're thinking tonight. And I'll tell you this. This time next year, we'll know. This time next year, we'll know. Don't let religion rob you. You about got it ready, brother? I have a video I just want to show you. It's about 3 or 4 minute video. It's very quick. It's nothing deep and all that. But there's a good point in this thing. And it tells you the difference. It's about a dog that was trained to do one thing, but he wasn't good at it. But he was finally used for what he was born to do. And was able to use all his giftings and all his ability to do. The point with this is, I want you to watch this dog. And understand that those training him could be the kingdom of God. It could be the kingdom of darkness. But the kingdom of God is always preparing you for the plans that he knitted and put in you for your success. The kingdom of darkness is always trying to destroy you. But religion has got us trying so hard to be something we're not, to do things that we're not, to act like we're not. And God just wants you to be who you are in his power and his might and accept his word. And be reminded, if you'll do these 5 things, this time next year, we will both rejoice. Because our lives will not be the same. Go ahead, brother.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Not me, and now.
Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, the thing I want to encourage you is be who you are.
Yes.
Amen.
Allow Him who created you in your mother's womb to do that which He's called you to be and do. He will help you and He will work it through you. There's people here in this church you've worked so hard at being something somebody else once told you you should be. Try to conform to the way religion and the world has told you to do and be, and you're miserable. You try so hard. You've opened the doors. You've done all the things that they've told you to do. You've bowed and you've tried to get along. You've opened the doors, learned to turn on the light switches. They told you you was going to be a good dog to help people. But you just kept messing up, wanting to chase birds. But you tried. I dare you. I double dog dare you to inquire of the Lord to show you your purpose in life. But not only that, to show your commitment to do those five things, that you'll be a surfing dog of your own. You saw the difference in the dog's attitude when he went from wanting to please people, trying to do things, to where he was running and jumping and playing. That's our call. And the dog did more doing what he was called to be and do than trying to be what the world said he should do. And that's for you. I dare you to trust the Lord. Let's all stand. Amen. Dear Lord, we bless you. We thank you that we were created in our mother's wombs to be exactly what you've called us to be and do.
That's right.
We thank you that, Lord, you did it with the glee in your eyes and a smile. That you gave us the skin colors, that you gave us the abilities, you gave us the hair, the character, the personalities. You placed things in us that just cause so much joy to your heart. But Lord, we also recognize that during the times of life that we were molded by the things of this world, by the enemy and the things of this world that tried to mold us and shape us into something that you've not created us to be and do. And so we yield our hearts to you right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and Father, we inquire of you to show us. To show us why we're where we're at today, Lord. To show us why we find ourselves year after year in the places that we find ourselves. Not that we would be beaten down, not that we would be wounded, because that's not you. But that we would be lifted up and be challenged to look forward to become that which you've called us to be and do in your power and your grace. Let us understand that Christ has made us acceptable. He has qualified us. Let us understand it's by grace, Father, that we walk. But let us also know there are things that we can do. There are laws and principles we can walk in your kingdom. Let us not deny those things any longer, not be slothful in well-doing. But let us begin to trust you. And if we have to take baby steps, Lord, let us do it. But let us change. We make a commitment to you tonight in the name of Jesus that this time next year we will not be the same. Not because of our efforts and strength and ability, but because of your effort and strength and ability. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And we release you to help us. And we commit to following you. For the sons of God are those who are followed by and led by the Holy Spirit. And we bless you and thank you in Jesus' holy name. And we all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You all may be dismissed. Love a neck.
Hey.
Tell somebody you love them. Tell them they're going to be good surfing dogs before it's over with.